Tonight's sermon comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We continue going through Paul's instructions to us in our households. And we've considered wives and husbands, children, and now parents and fathers are particularly addressed. So, just for a little bit of context, I'll read beginning at verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes when we hear God's commands, especially when we hear them, when we read them in Scripture for the first time, I find that people, and I remember this with myself, this one in particular, and others here in Ephesians as well, they surprise you a little bit by their clarity. That's so clear. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And you think, that's a good command. I shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. Well, as I've mentioned before, with these other commands, this one to fathers is simple and clear. A simple and clear statement regarding the will of God. Paul tells us in Ephesians, God tells us through his servant that we are to discern his will. We're to seek after God's will, try to understand it. How do you do that? You study, you memorize, you meditate on what he has said. Particularly very clear commandments like this one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So let's spend a few moments now with our ears wide open so that we might receive this instruction from our Heavenly Father. Well, as I read, Paul has previously instructed children to submit to their parents in the Lord, to honor them, to obey them. But of course, as anyone who has ever been under submission to authority knows, which is every single one of us here, it's a lot easier to honor and obey someone who is honorable and someone who is giving good commands. A lot of the difficulties that we face when we are under the authority of someone is how do we fulfill those commands when the person who's in authority over us is doing a bad job? It's really tough, and it's something we've considered when we've considered these other passages in Ephesians. And so, that every part of the family might be enriched and instructed, God speaks here to parents, to fathers in particular, as the leaders in their home, as those who should set a good example for their wives and children to follow. But in the same way, though it does address fathers in particular, we're right to include mothers here. When mothers are not exempt from provoking their children to anger, they do it sometimes and should not do it ever. Mothers likewise are called to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Remember, for example, and I'll read the scripture later, but how Timothy, whom Paul wrote to, 1 and 2 Timothy, how that Timothy was blessed by his mother and his grandmother teaching him, training him in the Lord. With that being said, though, what specific instructions does Paul give? Well, the command comes in two parts. First, do not provoke your children to anger. Second, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's take a look at each part. Well, before telling fathers that they should instruct their children, he gives them this caution and command, do not provoke them to anger. In a desire to see a child do right, parents, and perhaps fathers in particular, can sometimes be too strong, too aggressive, not gentle enough. even when the motivation is right, even what they want to see is their children successful, doing well, following after the Lord, sometimes fathers do not use their power, their authority, their legitimate power, their legitimate authority in a gentle way. And sometimes they do worse than not being gentle. They actually go about provoking their children to anger. This is an old problem. It's not something that's new. Chrysostom says, many parents do this. That's my big quote. It's true. It's an old, old problem. Paul addresses it here. It's something that we recognize in our lives. We all can point to examples from our parents, perhaps our fathers in particular, or other people in our lives where they just give me a break. Ease up a little bit. It is so hard to do this with you. Fathers are called not to provoke their children to anger. What it's helpful to remember is though our earthly fathers are not perfect, in fact, they sin, I sin in my fatherhood in many ways, it's important to remember that we should never think of our heavenly father after our earthly father's image. Our dads, our moms, they fail all the time in all kinds of ways. We do that as parents, but it's important that we not attribute the failings that we have to God. Remember Psalm 103, 13 through 14. It's relevant here. Psalm 103 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. See, our Heavenly Father takes account of who we are as his children. We're not just machines that he needs to get to do this way or that way or manipulate us into this thing or that thing. He knows us personally, deeply. He knows our frame and he remembers our limitations. Here described as that we are dust. Unfortunately, not all earthly fathers, and I include myself in this, sorry kids, not all earthly fathers show this kind of compassion. Every father in this regard sins sometimes a lot. The scripture tells us that our Heavenly Father is sensitive to our limits, to our struggles, to our nature. Paul is telling us that earthly fathers must do likewise, especially Christian ones who call God our Father. For example, shall we receive mercy from God as his adopted children and then refuse to pass mercy on to our children? When God, who understands our limitations and our weaknesses and our failings and our struggles, will we not do that for our kids? Will we not take the time to understand that, well, he's tired right now and maybe I shouldn't make this so difficult? Or she's sick or having a bad day. Perhaps I can be a little more gentle in my commands and the things that I'm asking of her. How can we show them? Here's a question to ask. How can we show them our Lord in the way that we act toward them? How can we demonstrate his love for us as we love them? So many ways. We can be careful not to tease too much, or worse, to mock them. Sometimes fathers use their positions and authority and power to push their kids to the very limits, to frustration, to tears. Does God use his power and his might, as awesome as it is, to ever abuse us? Never. Even in his correction, even in his discipline, it's done with a warm heart, full of compassion. What do the scriptures say about our God? It says that he's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God doesn't abuse his children. He adores them. He doesn't provoke them to anger. He keeps them from it. He demonstrates this in a thousand ways, and earthly fathers who want to demonstrate that love to their children ought to do the same. Like God, we ought to work hard to provide for their needs, to slow down and listen to them, to hear their stories, to hear their feelings, to give them room to cry and to be hurt. We can be sensitive to those times when obedience is hard. We can be sensitive to those times when they need encouragement. Earthly fathers, you might think about it this way. How many times has God protected you from sin by putting you in a situation where it was easy to do better, where it was easy to do right? Are there ways in which God has set up providences in your life that kind of keep you on the straight and narrow, that make it easier, that make it more enjoyable, that make things pleasurable? If God protects us from sin, if God watches out for us, if God trains us and is gentle with us in his discipline, we ought to do the same. And we should never do, as we are forbidden here, to provoke our children to anger. The second instruction is that we are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And as I mentioned before, mothers here are also easily included. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you." Or perhaps you remember the words recorded in Proverbs 31, Proverbs that were given to King Lemuel by his mom. There, in the final chapter of wisdom, this final chapter from the book of Proverbs, this mother speaks to her son. One of the things she tells him is about how to the kind of wife that he should find. And one of the descriptions there is this way: she opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Mothers play a great and important role in the discipline and instruction of their children. The discipline and instruction of the Lord falls on them. And of course, no less is expected of fathers. Throughout the Proverbs, we have a commands given from a father to a son. Fathers are specifically addressed here as well. You might remember Deuteronomy 6:7, where parents are told, "When you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise," in all of these times, in all these situations, we are to be training and teaching our children in the Lord. If some fathers are too intense, too forceful, too strict, others are too passive. Others simply say, "Well, you know, discipline, instruction, it'll take care of itself. I can't really be busied with that right now. I'm at work. I'm doing other things." Some sit back, afraid of engaging their children, of being there, of being present, of being available. Paul says that this is disallowed. They are to be active. They are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As we learn throughout the Proverbs, and as we all know from our experience, children need instruction. Children need reproof. The Proverbs describe children as those who are foolish and immature. Happily, it's not a permanent state. It's one that can be grown and improved. But that's where parents are to play this important role in the lives of their kids. Children need to be trained to see and to be wise. They need to be taught the ways of the Lord. How can you do this? Well, you start by learning the ways of God yourself. And this, of course, begins by understanding what faith is. This is really key. If you miss this point, you miss everything. If you walk out and you say, "Well, here are these 10 commandments, I'm going to make sure my kids obey them," and you've forgotten about faith, you've forgotten about how the law and the gospel work together, then you will have missed something very important. If you want to show your children the ways of the Lord, you must show them that the only way to the Lord is through faith in Jesus. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you desire to follow the Lord's will, to bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, you have to ask yourself, do I know what it means to be a child of the Heavenly Father? To pray the Lord's Prayer as a child and always as a child. To never outgrow saying, Our Father is in heaven. Do you know what it means to look to him for all things, to seek his will, to seek his life, to know him, to find his forgiveness, and to do all of that through faith in Christ, whom our Father has given to us that we might be united to him and know him and be loved by him? How do you do this? How do you bring your children up in the discipline and instruction in the Lord? Well, it begins by knowing the gospel, knowing who your Heavenly Father is and how you know him and why you can trust him and all the good news that comes to us in his word. Do you know that you belong to God out of his pure grace and not by your works? Do you know that the inheritance that he gives to you is not dependent upon the things that you do, but it's dependent entirely on his steadfast love, which is from all eternity? Do you know that you have been forgiven of all your sins and washed clean as white as the snow? Do you know the love with which you have been loved is all free and from him? Do you understand how the law destroys a person apart from this? Not that the law is sinful in and of itself, but that sinful nature reacts very badly when it comes into contact with the law. When we hear the law, and there's no hope in us, there's no forgiveness, there's no relationship with Christ, we simply recede into the darkness and do more evil. That we come under its condemnation and its slavery. But through faith in Christ, we are taught that the law is fulfilled on our behalf. And that then it becomes our joy to fulfill the commandments of God, because we know God is fulfilling them in us. The yoke of the Lord is easy. His burden is light. The commands of the Lord, the law of the Lord, David says, it's like the dripping of honey on his tongue. So sweet to know the law of God. How can you say that? Well, the Christian can say that. The one who's been rescued from it by the obedience of Christ and lifted into the freedom of it, they might do good works, not for their justification, but as proof that God is working in them. This is where you have to start if you're going to bring your kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Because without that, you would give them the law of the Lord, but not closeness with the Lord, not communion with the Lord, only his wrath. If you don't start here, if somehow you are able to manage to get your kids to fall in line with every good commandment, but that they learn to do it apart from faith, apart from humility, apart from the wonder of the God who saved them, then you've really done no good thing. The world will applaud and be impressed and will say, wow, your kids are amazing. Look how obedient they are. Look how submissive they are. But you will ultimately have raised nothing but proud Pharisees. And you know what Jesus says about Pharisees. But if you start with the gospel, if you start with Christ, if you start with the hope that he gives us, then one, you have room to be forgiven of your own fatherly faults and to go before the Lord as a child and say, I'm doing a bad job as a dad. Please help me. Please save me. But then we can go to our children in that same spirit and teach them what it means to repent, to teach them what it means to trust in Christ, not just because you're sorry, but because you trust him to forgive, you trust him to help, and that he will give you the very gifts of heaven. I say start here by knowing these things yourself, but don't take that to mean that you have to have it all figured out before you start. Of course, you'll never begin, and you'll miss the point. Our justification is not about figuring it all out before we start and come to God and say, I've got it all figured out. Our justification in Christ is knowing that we were saved while we were yet sinners. Our justification is being made perfect in him before we are perfect. So to walk as a Christian father or mother, it means to walk with your children today in the Lord, in faith. It means going with them to the scriptures, praying not just for them, but with them. Not just bringing them to worship, but worshiping with them, singing with them, repenting with them, confessing, loving, serving together. Want to get really practical? On the Lord's Day, worship with them in the house of the Lord. On other days, every day you possibly can, bring them to the scriptures and read and pray. Teach them to find Jesus in all these places where he shows himself. And if you find yourself lacking in these things, which I certainly do, if you find yourself having memories of dark moments, things you wish you could take back, words you wish you could stuff back in your mouth, if you find that you need guidance and strength and perseverance, then look to your Heavenly Father. Through the promise of Christ and then in the power of the Spirit who is in you, ask your triune God for all that you need. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Jesus says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray.